You guys, it's your boy Abdi.
Yeah, it's your boy Johannes, man. Full name this time.
What's up? It's your boy Lil Gap.
And we're back at it. Technical Foul Podcast. We took a little break last weekend celebrating this guy's big birthday. You know, hit the big, you know what I'm saying? 2-6.
2-2, actually, you know.
He wants to stay young, but.
Are we doing that? We at that age now?
Yes.
Yeah, man. You know, I've been 22 for about 5 years now. So we're gonna keep it at that.
But yeah, man, Johannes. I know. I was with you on Friday, but like overall, how was your birthday weekend?
Oh man, it was great, man. I got to be around family to start off with, and my brothers. You know, I wish Miles was there too, but my brothers. And then to top it off, the Celtics winning Game 7 just made me so happy.
Stressing though.
Oh yeah.
It was a very stressing game.
That was
extremely stressing.
About damn time. Yeah.
This was definitely my second favorite 22nd birthday.
26th.
Hey, man.
That's young. I don't know why you're stressing.
No, nah, bro. 26 is like 3 years and 11 months and whatever days till 30. That's how I look at it.
Anyways.
Bro. Oh, my God.
Anyways. Since you brought up the topic of the Celtics, they advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals along with who's the other team?
Miami Heat.
Yeah. And then you got the Western Conference Finals, who have the Lakers and the biggest Cinderella team of all time, the Denver Nuggets, who are going to win tonight because I have a lot of money. Actually, not a lot of money, but I have a parlay on them. So, like, it's like an 8-pick parlay, including football games. But, yeah, $2.
Hey, money's money.
Hey, listen, I put $2 down. I might get out $3,900, I think. I'll show you.
But we don't condone gambling on
nah, it's legal. You know, don't do it if you don't.
Don't condone it, but we understand.
Yeah, do it smart. You know, $2. $2 ain't that much for me.
Rich man.
It's $2. It's $2, guys. It's just $2. Listen, anyways.
So if you get that 3 stacks, you split it 3 ways, right?
I don't know, man. You gotta convert to a Celtics fan for that to happen.
Which will never happen.
Okay, so you go ahead and get that money, bro.
Hey, man. Yo, quick question, bro. Who's that? Who's that on your background for the people listening and watching?
If you guys don't know who's in my background, it's actually former Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who unfortunately passed away over the weekend. She was about 84 years old. She did a lot for women, civil rights. She was about one of the most influential and amazing people to ever hold a position, a seat in such a high ranking position. And, you know, I just have to shout her out because she did a lot for the Black community and minorities in general. So I had to shout her out. R.I.P.
R.I.P., man. Yeah. There's a lot of good people dying in the world. I wish nothing but health and prosperity to everyone, especially you, Mr. Birthday Boy. Anyways, yo, let's get into our picks, bro. I mean, I know we're kind of in the midst of all of it. Johannes, you want to go first?
Yeah, let's start off with the Eastern Conference Finals. So this is taking place the day after his third game. So Boston just won last night. Gordon Hayward is back, which I told Abdi that he is the X factor to this whole algorithm of winning.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I'm going to stick with my pick. I said Boston in 7 originally because Miami's a team that will never give up, and they know what it takes to win, and they know that even being up 2-0, that Boston was going to come back. Miami knows what it takes to win. They know that even if they're up 3-0, that they're not going to, you know, underestimate the future champions of the 2020 NBA Finals, the Boston Celtics, you know. But, yeah, listen, we have a lot of scores on a Boston Celtics team that makes it tough for the Miami defense to stop, you know? If they want to play Abdi's favorite type of defense.
Excuse me. Yo, listen, if you're playing zone defense in the NBA, you know, you're lazy. Your coaching techniques are frowned down upon. Let's just say that.
So, to piggyback off what he said, you know, Boston has a lot of scorers, and I was telling him yesterday that no matter what kind of defense they throw at Boston, somebody's going to flourish off of it, you know? And which is a huge, huge help to us. And B, like I said from game one, they got to attack, attack, attack. Bam Adebayo will get exposed. You know, he's a great defender, but he can't guard the paint for 48 minutes. Yeah. You know, and Kelly Olynyk is a terrible defender. Garbage. You know, I don't know why Myers Leonard isn't playing. You know, he's great. He can space the floor. He's kind of aggressive on the defensive end for the most part. But just attack. You know, we got Kemba who can finish great around the basket. Jaylen Brown is a huge dude. Gordon Hayward is great at that mid-range jumper. Jason Tatum got that length, you know, minus the block he had in game one by Bam Adebayo. He's been great around the rim.
Questionable block.
Hey, no comment. But, you know, they attacked the basket yesterday. I think they had around 60 points in the paint.
Yep.
You know, they just played aggressive 48 minutes, and that's what they need to continue if they want to win the series. So.
Yeah, well,
go ahead, Miles. So wait. So you got Celtics in how much?
Oh, sorry. Boston at 7.
Boston at 7. Go ahead, Miles. My bad.
Okay, my prediction is also going to be Boston in 7, just because I know what you guys are capable of. As much as I despise your guys' team, you guys definitely can make some adjustments that you can use to win. I got actually 5 specific adjustments that they can make in order to overcome this zone defense. And number one, they need to be more aggressive and have a high post score, somebody that can actually expose that hole that they got in the middle of the gap of the zone. Like, they're not utilizing that. If they go back and watch the Clippers film, you see them doing that all the time with Montrez and Kawhi. And they can easily substitute that Kawhi role to have Jason Tatum get inside and just make plays. They also need to start sliding the weak side big under the basket when the defender cheats off of the strong side. So if to give you an example, if they're playing in the corner and they send somebody down with the ball, set a screen, that defender on the other side of the court is going to be cheating to help and try to avoid getting the 3-second call. So he's literally just going to be watching the ball, make it slide a big underneath the basket and just throw it into him and literally get buckets all day. Third thing they can do is use that pistol action like I was just talking about, getting that ball man into the corner, throw a ball screen at the on-ball defender, and then use a cutter to send somebody straight down the middle of the lane and get a layup. Easy. Or a floater. You can use Marcus Smart for that role easily. And then they can also utilize attacking on the catch from the wing penetration. So if somebody takes it inside, they can easily get a quick catch and shoot shot in the corner and get a 3 off. And they can generate offense that way. And then the last thing, they can post up. Because contrary to popular belief, people don't think you can post up on a 2-3 defense. And they actually can. You can use a high-low positioning and get somebody on the block. And if it does collapse, which you've been seeing the defense collapse real quick inside, because you got like 4 defenders inside, you can literally kick it out and get a 3-point shot or skip it across the court and get somebody open. But, you know, you guys got a pretty good coaching staff, so I'm sure they're seeing this already. And plus they do have an X factor with Gordon Hayward. I think he's going to make a pretty big impact as far as you guys is generating offense, because he's a good playmaker too. And honestly, y'all chemistry, y'all got to get that together, because we hearing about people yelling and arguing in the locker rooms, more specifically Marcus Smart, because, you know, he a dog and he don't get in people's faces and challenge people. And when you start throwing stuff and start throwing chairs or whatever they were throwing at each other, they got to get that under control if they're going to win. Have to.
So you got the Celtics in 7.
Boston is 7 for me. As crazy as that sounds, I think if they can figure out that zone defense, they can win.
I think I agree with I side with Johannes on this. It's Boston in 6. Miles, you pointed up some great offensive flaws they have when it comes to zone defense. Short corners, man. I keep reiterating that, Johannes. Like, you can't beat a zone by having a player come in towards the middle where it gets combobulated, you know, which is the mistake they made in game 2. And they slightly did it in the second half in game 3, where they tried to feed the elbows more than they tried to feed the short corners. And that's where that's where it goes wrong. So, like, Brad Stevens, I mean, you have college experience. You should know how to beat a zone. Like, that's all they play in college, you know. So, like, as an experienced coach, as Brad Stevens is, the fact that they struggled against all those zones being thrown at them, the man zones, the 2-3 zones, the 3-2 zones. I saw a little bit of 1-3-1. I mean, like,
yeah,
those are easy.
They do all type of sets, and I think it was crazy. You know, it's like, it's just, nobody would watch the Clipper film in the regular season.
Another Clipper shot for Giannis right there.
Yeah, I'm not a Clippers fan. I'm a Kawhi fan.
But when it comes to playing zone against a knowledgeable coach like Brad Stevens, that's showing extreme disrespect towards your coaching staff. Not just Brad Stevens alone, but you're showing extreme disrespect towards your coaching staff. At that point, you got to take. You can't let those guys play through that adversity. You got to make adjustments on the fly. Putting in Enes Kanter.
I said that would help too. Yeah. You know, I was telling you that. I think Enes Kanter. And I think that Miami, like I was telling him yesterday, Miami has a lot of great defenders, but they also have a lot of defensive liabilities.
Right.
Dragić can't play defense for a lick. Duncan Robinson, he has the effort, but like you saw him yesterday, and a little bit of game two, he got in foul trouble just because he puts in, I think, a little too much effort, which, you know, is a little too aggressive, and guys can just get that contact quickly.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of defensive liabilities where, I mean, Boston can really expose no matter what defense is thrown at them, in my opinion. Because like you said, I mean, like Miles said, Brad Stevens is a great coach, right? Boston has a ton of scorers. You know, they get to the paint, shoot the three, whatever it takes. We have a ton of that. Yeah. With Enes Kanter, with JB, Jalen, you know, Marcus Smart starting to flourish a bit, Kemba, Gordon, you know, we got sports.
Been flourished. You called it, bro. You said 10. He's been in the league for how long?
Almost 7 years.
7 years. Every year he's made the playoffs.
Every year he's made it to the playoffs. He's been to the Eastern Conference Finals now his third time.
He's a proven winner.
Yeah, and I think honestly, like, I know what Miles is saying as far as you know, like, quote-unquote locker room issues, but I think it's help, you know, because I think the guys are too soft, and Marcus Smart's the only dog, like he said, and like we know, which kind of, like, you know, I think he was just doing that to, like, instill that kind of toughness with the Celtics roster.
Also,
like,
you can't spend a long season, 82 games plus the playoffs, without having a little friction and pushing each other, you know? Like, you guys got to understand, this has been the longest NBA season of all time. So, like, these guys are probably just, like, butting heads. Imagine being, like, okay, like, you go to work, right? You get out of work, you go home to your family. You don't want to talk about work, you don't want to deal with work. These guys go to work, still stay at work. They're around the same people at all times, the average. You know what I'm saying? They're in different circumstances.
Like, storm-like.
Exactly.
Like,
you know,
storm-like.
Yeah.
That's, like, back in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other.
Exactly. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'd be annoyed if I saw the same person, and then, you know, like, I want my space. Like, but yeah, man, Celtics in six.
All right, for the next topic, we got the Lakers and the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. My prediction, it's gonna remain the same. I'm predicting the Lakers to win this one in seven, and I think they're gonna still take it all just because we have the best player and the real MVP on our squad. And, you know, I think Denver is going to be tired, contrary to what they've been saying. They've had to battle from 3-2, being down 3-1 twice. And they're not as veteran-oriented because they got a lot of young pieces on their squad, which is excellent for them. They've got a lot of talent. I really think Jamal Murray, he's legit. And Jokic, he's legit too. But when it comes to our squad, we've got so much experience and playoff experience wrapped up in our squad. So, you know, after the MVP snub, LeBron James should have won MVP. We could talk about that in the next one. But LeBron, like, switched into a different mode. You know, it's crazy because every time I watch LeBron play, it's like the closer he gets to the title, he just starts turning up more and more. But there's levels to this basketball thing and life in general, but levels to this NBA, like, this league that we watch, and LeBron's got a different tier than everybody else. And AD's got that tier too. He just needs to be a little bit more aggressive. And the problem that a lot of people can easily see is the foul trouble. That first game, although it's a small sample size, that first game they had Jokic, Murray, and Millsap with three fouls before the first or at the in the beginning of the first half. So if they can figure out how to overcome that, it might go down to seven. I'm going to predict it to go to six, though, just because I think they're not going to – I don't know if we're going to run – I don't think we're going to run away with it that easily just because of how much talent Denver does have. But I'm going to say Lakers in six.
You know, like, I'm going to have to side with Mr. Miles Houston over here because the Lakers just got too much, like, depth when it comes to, like, pieces they could go to on the bench and whatnot. But I don't think they're going to finish in six. I think they're going to go all the way to seven.
Really?
Denver, yeah, Denver is a scary team. They got length. I keep, like, that pick and roll is scary. Jamal and Jokic are probably one of the best, one of the most underrated duos of all time when it comes to, like, that pick. I said it before, Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. It's reminiscent of that. That's just my opinion. So, yeah, man. I got the Lakers in seven, barring any drastic changes. I mean, I'd love to see another Lakers Celtics finals appearance. It would be great starting off the decade, the new decade with that.
Yeah, with some
he's crossing his fingers.
All right. So this is what I got to say, right? I got Lakers in six, possibly even in five. But I'm going to say this, right? Miles, I disagree with when he says LeBron gets closer and closer to the finals. He tends to step it up. LeBron had like 14 points in game one. I'm not impressed, you know. 14 points, 14 points.
Right.
That's not GOAT talk. Right.
I'll let
you finish. It's not GOAT talk to me. I think in the finals he plays really, really well and steps it up for sure. But closer and closer, I disagree. For Denver to have a chance, this is my thoughts, is Millsap can't be in the lineup. They have to have Mason Plumlee down there guarding AD because he's lengthier, taller, and quicker than Millsap. I mean, Millsap's 6'8", I think. And AD can just shoot right over him for the most part. Millsap's a great defender, but he can't guard AD for 48 minutes in a 7-game series. So that's one. Second is, I think, comes down to both Kyle Kuzma and Michael Porter Jr. as far as the X factors in the series. You know, we already know what AD and LeBron's going to do. We know what Murray and Jokic have to do. And I think it's just down to the third best player on each team to actually fulfill their role and see who wants it more. To me, it's too early to tell. It's just been one game, and for the most part, Lakers bench really outplayed the Nuggets bench. And third, Jokic and Murray need to be more aggressive, man.
Mm-hmm.
Combined, they had 26 field goal attempts
mm-hmm.
in the first game. That is not going to cut it.
Also, you got to stay out of foul. You got to stay out of foul trouble.
Foul trouble too, but they need to be more aggressive. I mean, let's be real. Nobody on the Lakers squad is going to be able to guard Jamal Murray. Nobody's quick enough to guard him. Nobody's going to want to take that assignment for 48 minutes strictly on every possession. So he needs to be more aggressive. Like you both said, they got to stay out of foul trouble. Like I said, it's only game one. Tonight's game two. So we'll see what changes happen. But if none of that happens, then Lakers in six, possibly even five. So.
You mentioned your X factors, Johannes. I think an X factor for Denver is actually going to be Jeremy Grant. He's actually been the most consistent, one of the most consistent, like, role players that they've had. And for us, it's going to be Rondo because he's been playing well, been playing really, really well. And, yeah. By the way, LeBron had 15 points, 12 assists on 31 minutes. So it was plus 15, so I think that's pretty efficient. Anyway.
No, it's efficient. I'm just saying it's not like other Lakers players.
Since we're on that LeBron statistical topic, let's transition over to the recent MVP award. You guys seen it? Giannis Antetokounmpo with a mass majority of votes. Mr. King James and the West Coast only had 16. And he said, quote unquote, it pissed me off. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
So let me. I just want to get it out of the way because I know Miles didn't have a lot to say about this.
Yes, you guys go first.
Yeah, I just want to say Giannis absolutely deserves the MVP award, and here's why. Right? Yes, I've told this to Abdi a million times. We talked about this a lot during the past week. Yes, LeBron's been phenomenal. You know, 35, going to be 36. He's put
17
up
17 years.
He's been great. You know, as much as a critic as I want to be,
yeah,
he's really, really played well. And, you know, everybody said that, you know, he can't perform, you know, as great in the West as he did in the East. He obviously proved the haters wrong for the most part. You know, we'll see what the end game is. But in my opinion, the reason why I think Giannis deserves it is because this is the regular season MVP, right? For the regular season, okay? He averaged 30 points a game, which is more than LeBron, 14 rebounds a game, which is more than LeBron, and he did it in barely 30 minutes a game. Barely 30 minutes, okay? So that's one. Second, they finished with the best record overall. You know, the Bucks finished with the best record in the league. We got to take that into consideration. And third, his second best player was Chris Middleton, okay? The reason why I say that is because LeBron has a, obviously take LeBron out, the Lakers won't be as good, but Anthony Davis has been a franchise player in a different, you know, team, and he's led his New Orleans Pelicans team.
He put up better numbers than LeBron.
Yeah, so I, in my opinion, I think Anthony Davis is even a better player than Giannis. So for Giannis to not have that sidekick like LeBron does and to perform better numbers and better record overall in this regular season, I got to give to Giannis. LeBron had a great, great, great season. I don't think he deserves 16 votes.
You should.
You know what? I had a little argument about this with Giannis. I honestly think the MVP is considerably a regular season award, but with the season that had just occurred, right?
You mean the bubble?
Yeah, okay. Like you gotta add that too, bro. So like, even I think an MVP should be extended to like the playoffs, you know?
Well, that's why we had the finals MVP.
Let me talk.
Okay, go ahead. Sure. Sorry, pulling Stephen A. Smith over here.
Let me explain myself real quick, all right? A valuable player to a team should lead any kind of roster to at least the Eastern Conference Finals or to the finals. Yes or no? Yes or no?
Hey, you're talking, so you know.
No, yes or no? Yes or no?
No.
Interesting. So why is So why is he a valuable player if that's not the case?
Okay, so if we're gonna say that, then LeBron shouldn't have deserved the MVP award in 2010 because he didn't get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
The last nine playoffs he's been to, he's gone to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right. I'm not degrading him. I'm saying if you're gonna use your argument, then LeBron didn't deserve the 2010 regular season MVP.
2010 was Derrick Rose, right?
Yeah. No, 2010. Got 2010 is LeBron got kicked out of the second round.
Oh, that's because my boys was killing it.
Right, but I'm saying if you're using that argument,
like 35, 5, and 6, like 40 minutes, so he was 25 years old, but pretty much the same age as Giannis. So we can make that argument.
Anyways, well, I think, listen.
Max Kellerman over here, man.
Listen, man, he deserves it. He deserves it.
No, I don't.
I just honestly think that LeBron gets snubbed year in and year out.
No, and I agree with that. I do agree with that.
Year in and year out. A valuable player to a team should be taking any sort of roster to the finals or the conference finals. Point blank, period. And it should be extended towards the playoffs. Should be extended towards the playoffs. If it's a season award, the playoffs are included in the season. You're still playing, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me say this real quick before Miles talks, right? I think what your argument is, I think they should do that with the finals MVP. I think the finals MVP should go to the best player that played the entire series, not from the winning team, just in general, in my opinion.
That's so like, dumb, though.
Like, no, but hear me out. In 2015, did Iguodala deserve to have the finals MVP or LeBron?
No, he did not.
Right, so I think in that scenario, you know, that would be more appropriate, in my opinion. You know, I think the finals MVP should be you know, glitched a little differently than the regular season MVP.
Right.
As far as winning.
Let me say.
You played eight games, so you deserve MVP.
But if you think that's stupid, then what's the difference between having 16 games?
It's a consolation prize, bro. It's a consolation prize.
Well, yeah, exactly what I'm saying. No, I'm saying it's dumb for the fact that you get an MVP award for playing eight games.
But then what's the difference between eight more games? 16 games, like.
No, but I'm saying it would make more sense for a playoff MVP award versus a bubble MVP. You're playing eight regular season games. Why do you need a playoff MVP?
Anyways.
Because it's a gimmick, because they have to make it exciting and give the writer something to write about.
It's just another 2020. They're trying to make something positive in 2020.
My opinion on that is Giannis did deserve it, yes. Okay, cool. He had a great season, this and that. Okay, that's great. But my boy LeBron, man, getting snubbed every year. Anyways, with that being said, go ahead, Miles.
Y'all can recall, the viewers can recall the previous, in a previous episode where I did predict that Giannis would win. And I knew this would happen just because how the criteria for the voting now is set up. It's number one, your stats, number two, your team's record, and number three, the storyline. I knew this going in, and LeBron still got snubbed. And let me tell you why. Because you can argue, just like you were talking about earlier, Abdi, you can argue for like the past 8 years or so that he could have been MVP award getter. Like, he's been in the conversation just because of the kind of player that he is. And that could be a result of voters' fatigue. You know, you saw that happen with Jordan when he was in the league. I'm not saying that LeBron is Jordan, but, like, he's in the conversation as far as that caliber of player. He's in that tier. And as amazing as Giannis is, and this is no disrespect to him, I even predicted him to win it. You know, the 14th player in NBA history to win back-to-back MVPs and only the third to have that and a defensive player of the year, that's impressive. But, again, that's the storyline that the NBA is selling us on, and that's the reason he won. LeBron, if I had to make the case for him, number one, he's in the Western Conference, which everybody had been saying for the longest that if he went over to the West, he could win. He proved everybody wrong and got the best – had the number one seed coming out of the West with a tougher schedule than the Bucks. And I understand Giannis averaged like 30, 14, and 6 in 30 minutes, which is unprecedented, especially at his age. But, you know, if we're going to go off of the criteria of having the best team with the best overall record, you know, why don't we compare the schedules? The media is so obsessed and horny off of the stats and analytics that, you know, the numbers look great, but statistically, LeBron is also a good player, and in my opinion, the better player and the more valuable player, because if we're going to take it deeper into, like, the impact statistics, we struggled when he wasn't on the floor in the regular season. When the Bucks had Giannis on the floor, they were plus 16. When he came off the floor, they were plus 5. The difference with the Lakers is a little bit more dramatic, because when LeBron was off the floor, they were plus 0.1. Guess how much they were when he was on the floor. Can y'all guess?
Wow.
Plus 11.
That's crazy.
That's a huge impact. He had more impactful stats, in my opinion, because, for example, the assist, he impacted about 26.5 assists off of points created per game, just because of LeBron had touched the ball at some point and he ended up converting. 26.5. That's a lot. That's huge.
You got Giannis over here tripping. He's ready talking shit.
Look.
No, ready. I'm just saying my thing is you bring up the stats of, you know, the analytics of when LeBron
like if we
on off the court.
Because I know they're arguing with the stats, but
so. No, I'm saying, but you're bringing up a stat to back up your argument when you're saying stats and analytics is what the NBA media loves to fawn over.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's crazy. They say you know, he had better records. You could argue that, but it was only like a 4-game difference to our record. Like we won like what, 52 games or something like that. And another thing, after the tragic, most tragic thing that happened in the basketball community, rest in peace, the late great Kobe Bryant. That was a tough time for everybody in the league, but it most heavily and directly impacted our team because he was so closely tied to the franchise and gave us a lot of fuel. And I could go on and on about that, but rather than folding emotionally, we watched that first game against Portland after that happened, but then we went on to win the next 9 out of 10 games, which included the Bucks and the Clippers right before the season got shut down. And all in all, dude, you could argue easily that LeBron could have made, could have won the MVP award in the past 8 years. But this year in particular, he's had his best stat, his best assist total statistically. And he is really the most valuable player to the team, to my team at least. And he's the best leader by far in the league. He's got all his players playing the one accord, and they all happen to be on the same page. If you ever watch JaVale McGee's blog, shout out JaVale one more time. You can see the chemistry. These guys really rock with each other, and I love to see it.
Hey, man.
And I think we should have got it. This is my opinion.
You think LeBron should have got it then?
Call me biased if you want to. I don't care, but he should have won that.
That's what I'm saying. So why were you tripping when I said LeBron should have won it?
No, it's probably because, like you were saying, like, you know, you were in the middle, but then you wrapped it up by saying, like, LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron got snubbed. I don't know why people are telling, like, come on, man.
We'll see.
Anyways,
If he averages 15 points a game in the finals, then I tell you what.
Yeah, you had Giannis in his feelings earlier by talking about the Clippers, and he left. He left the scene quick.
Look, it's okay, though. I'll take him as a finals MVP instead. That would be a much better award.
Hey, man. With this 3-6 record, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Okay.
We're going to see.
Oh, for sure. No, especially the Celtics and Lakers.
We most definitely got to.
Hey, man. Yeah. It's going to be very bad.
Yeah. So, let's move on to... No new segment. Johannes got a few topics.
Yeah, so we're gonna start off real quick, man. Nice and hot, man. We're gonna talk about Ty Lawson, you know, a UNC legend. I want to go ahead and say I used to love him in UNC.
I think he's one of the most underrated.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the most underrated Nuggets point guards of all time.
I loved him in Denver.
Shifty. Yeah. I love watching him play.
Yeah, so, you know, for those who don't know, he's been playing overseas over in China, the CBA. And he posted some explicit photos of messages and just photos in general on his Instagram.
Although he did address what he, I think, you know what? Like, it wasn't a strip club or anything. People assume it's a strip club.
It looked like it, that's why.
Yeah, it was a nightclub and he was dancing.
The lighting
played,
it looked like it was at a club.
Yeah, he was just dancing with a girl.
All right, so let's just say allegedly, right? Yeah. You know, even though pictures say otherwise. Yeah, so the CBA basically said that they won't sign him for another season. His, quote-unquote, his inappropriate words are inconsistent with the social responsibilities and values abided by our club, and that brought serious adverse social impacts to the club and to the league. So do you guys think that he was a fool for this, an idiot for what he did, or do you kind of see where he came from and, you know, it was a really big guy, you know, a big problem, or?
Well, from the previous stories that he's posted on his Instagram and his rants or whatever you want to call it, they apparently saying cake to a Chinese woman is racist, so.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
All right, well, I was told not to address this, but I don't know, I gotta stick up for myself. I'm probably the least racist guy you ever met in life. Like, I have fun with everybody. I be chilling, whatever. Woo. Cakes means that she has a nice body. That's it. Everybody's talking about, oh, Ty, you're racist. Oh, my God, get him out of China. I'm like, bro, like, you're taking it too far. Like, y'all are wild. But I'm just saying at the same time, I meant no disrespect. And then, like, all the racist and disrespect that's coming towards me is wild. Like, everybody that knows me in China know I'm not that person at all. I was literally saying that she had nice body. And I danced at a club. I wasn't at a strip club. I wasn't having sex with the women in the club, disrespecting her. I didn't do that. And I sat down with two of my, Chinese, I'm not gonna say, I'm gonna say friends, but the Chinese friends. We sat down and broke down a whole Lil Uzi song. Cause they didn't know what he was saying or what he meant. And I broke it all the way down. Like, I was like, yo, black people talk different. That's how we talk. So if anybody wants to, you know, try to figure out what we're talking about, like, go to a rap song and literally sit down and dive deep into what we're really saying. Guaranteed.
So apparently he got banned for posting a racial slur. You know?
Do you think it was just that or everything?
With the extracurricular activities included, of course, but like the primary reason is from what he's saying, what the caption was very racially, it was racist. Yeah, it was very racist from the Chinese people, and that's what they think. So, yeah, man, I don't know, man. I think he shouldn't have done it in the first place, but hey, man, he's not in the NBA for a reason, right?
Exactly. He's not in the league, and I think that's why he thought he could not even get away with it, but wasn't thinking too heavy on it. When's the last time you even said the name Ty Lawson?
I mean, I kind of said his name. I mean, once in a while, here and there, you know. I've been following for a minute, so it's just very entertaining. Wow. He's very entertaining. Y'all really should follow him on the IG, bro.
I'm off that. I don't need that. You know. Anyways, I only follow, you know, tough, hardworking people.
Yeah, tough, hardworking people like LeBron James and his son, right?
And his son. Which is, he is taking rapid fire over social media, man. I think this is probably the reason why LeBron had 14 points or 15 points the other night. Bronny, D and I were talking about this, and he had a great point, actually. Maybe, I was questioning why Bronny posted this on his Instagram story, and Abdi was saying something great, where maybe he was just under the influence so badly that he didn't know he was posting it, which could make sense, honestly. Yeah. But...
Can y'all? I don't mean to interrupt. Can y'all put me on? Cause I don't. I'm not up to date on what happened.
Hey, you don't know what the hell. You don't know what happened.
Just tell me. I've been busy this
week.
So basically, he posted a picture of him smoke or a video of him smoking weed on his. You know, social media had their fun with that. And
listen, Miles, what are your thoughts on that?
We just found out, so.
I mean, he lives in Southern California.
Do you blame anyone? Do you blame anyone?
That's not smart, especially knowing who his family is. That's really not smart. And didn't he just get signed to like some, what was it, FaZe Clan?
FaZe, yeah. So the video games.
Yeah.
Video game, yeah.
Like, he's got a lot going on. So I think what it is just, you know, him actually having his platform and being in the spotlight, and they just, he got caught up. Because he actually is, people pay attention to follow him. How many followers does he have? He probably has like over a million.
Looking at this right here, sportcasting.com, and they're talking about how like it would make managers, coaches, and team executives unhappy that he did this. But I feel like in 2020, where so many NBA players have came out and said that they've done this before, before games, you had the great legendary coach of Don Nelson, who also said the same thing. I think it's just very, it's happening in the world. But do I think he should have done it? Absolutely not. And of course, social media is gonna have their fun with that. They have, and they still are.
Listen, man.
My thing is maybe this is what happened. Maybe an opposing team, the Nuggets GM or somebody. Gave that to the possession of Bronny to have LeBron be distracted by his son and have him perform, you know, 50 points in the game.
He would never. Let me say something about this, okay?
What's up?
First of all, kids make mistakes, you know? We've all made mistakes in the past. We've all learned from our mistakes in the past. Hopefully, we've all learned from our mistakes from the past. This guy's 15. LeBron said in a book when he was younger, like in high school, he smoked weed. He smoked a blunt for the first time ever. You know, like he made that mistake. He regrets it.
Right.
Moved on. To be honest, I honestly don't think LeBron's tripping about
this. No, absolutely not.
He's probably going to talk to him as a father and be like, yo. Yeah, he's probably going to talk to him as a father and be like, yo, like, that's dumb. You stupid. Don't do it again.
Right. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not. He smoked weed. He didn't post a video of him beating up somebody. He didn't post anything explicit. You know, he just posted that.
He's just enjoying his life.
Right. You know, I know a lot of people on my Snapchat story or on Instagram who post that or post, you know, them flexing money or, you know, stuff. This is just dumb stuff, you know? Yeah. And, you know.
The thing that pisses me off about this whole situation is that people are calling him a fucking druggie. They're automatically calling him a druggie just because he smoked a fucking blunt.
He loves to overreact, but you know what's crazy? You know, granted, it's a legal substance where we live, but I mean, him being underage, it's not cool, and he's an athlete, like, he shouldn't be doing that to your body. But we discussed, if y'all have ever listened or watched to All the Smoke with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, like, it's actually more common than people realize. People smoke weed being professional athletes. Now, we go on to say, like, it should be, like, a substance that's removed from the, you know, like, ban? No, not necessarily. But you got to think about it. Lil Bronny, he's a kid, and he has a platform, and he knows, like, this is probably going to get myself in trouble, but he's a kid. His frontal lobe ain't fully developed. He made a mistake, in my opinion.
And just two more things to add to it. A, let's be real. This is Bronny, the son of LeBron James. 4 years from now, or whatever, 3 years from now, when he gets to, you know, to play in college and then get to the draft, nobody's gonna remember this. Nobody will remember this. You know, it's just something that's just passing by, for the most part. And B, like I was telling Abdi, LeBron lets his kids drink wine with him, right? You know, I think
that part.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's fine if you're doing stuff like this behind closed doors with family. You know, it's not a big deal. I think people just overreact. Like we all agree, it's 2020. I mean, it's just things that weren't uncommon before, you know, 10, 20 years before, now is common, and it's very harmful. I mean, unharmful, excuse me. So it's just an overreaction, in my opinion.
Anything else about the segment?
No, that's really about it.
That's about it.
Miles,
anything you gotta say?
Arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor.
Mad about that, bro. Money ain't gonna fucking fix a problem here, bro. Real talk. Let me fucking, bro. $12 million settlement is not gonna fucking fix the problem, the ongoing systemic problem that the United States has gone through the last 400 plus years. You can't just say, here, take the money. That's hush money, bro. Like, the fact that the government is allowing that, the Congress is allowing that they don't see what the fuck the NBA, the other leagues are all doing, they're all fucking making awareness, the WNBA, like, yo, money ain't gonna fucking fix black people like him, like me, like Miles, like your sister, like your brother, like your mother, like your father, getting shot, having that fear to get shot. $12 million, you could give it up, but we're still out here protesting, bro. So like, fuck all that bullshit. Fix the main problem. Point blank, period.
I agree. Drop the mic. That's it. Got
an answer right there. Anything you gotta say? Oh, and yo, that homegirl from fucking Full House, what's her face?
I don't know. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, LeBron was right. I'm gonna put it right here. Y'all can see what he's talking about. But yo, yeah, that's a part of the problem too. Like, yo, let me stop, bro, before I fucking cuss out even more. Please.
King Test 5.
Half Court Entertainment. Yo, yeah. By the way, Twitter's coming up. It's on the way. Yeah, be on the lookout. Merch coming too.